Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sharp Elbows. My name is Nada Makashvi.
And I'm State Representative Francesca Hong. And as always, we are both here to talk about the week in review. When it comes to the political climate of Wisconsin, the country, how the world. Remember, you can also join the conversation by calling in. The number is 844-967-2789. Again, the number is 844-967-2789.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I haven't been on the air for like a month.
Well, you missed a good show with Kristen Bry. We talked a lot about fish.
Ooh, no, you know me. I don't like seafood, so I couldn't contribute anything. Well, I'm glad I missed it. Yay, though, I'm glad I'm here. We're keeping it a little bit unscripted for all of you, kind of treating it like a tell-all, you know, the ones they did. Have you watched Real Housewives? Oh, my God. Whoops, I love that.
I have not watched Real Housewives before. I know of the series. I believe there are multiple series.
Yeah, they are. They just follow rich people around in like different cities, and it's so dramatic. And I used to watch it just to you know, in comparison, kind of be like, oh, my life is pretty great. But now with politics, I'm like, oof, we have more drama than them. And a lot more problematic white men, for sure. But I think today's theme is just truth telling and the tell all, and we're gonna keep it real for you guys. So, how have you been, Fran? How's our favorite assemblywoman?
Oh, I don't know about favorite. I have been okay. You know, like you said, lots of drama this week. We went from, you know, trying to celebrate the fact that we were able to pass a resolution celebrating and recognizing Asian Pacific Islander Desi American Heritage Month, the month of May, but then went right into, you know, having to call out the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Group. That didn't make some folks happy, but I think it's important to recognize that we have, you know, colleagues on the other side of the aisle who are essentially calling workers lazy and insulting Wisconsinites. And I think it's our duty to defend workers, defend Wisconsinites. And, you know, for a business advocacy group that we know, you know, I think it was last summer that there was some very poignant graffiti on their wall that they've stolen more than we could ever loot. Mm. It's important to make sure that we recognize that they don't speak for all businesses, and they certainly don't speak for small business owners like me. Yeah, the assembly session was a interesting one per usual. I think there were almost tears when Representative Kurtz talked about the national anthem bill. So, you know, passionate, just like the Real Housewives series.
Can you give a little bit more info on the national anthem bill that they did?
So it was a bill that would require the national anthem to be either performed or played before all like sporting events that occur on partially publicly funded sporting grounds. Mm. It's a mandate, and we know how Republicans feel about mandates. So I was quite surprised that they would bring this forth. You know, Rep. Kurtz talked about how he's been called a fascist and, you know, this is forced patriotism. And, you know, the people who call him that were speaking truth. This is, if you look at the trajectory of what's happened in the assembly, we started with essentially a dear leader speech of our assembly speaker, celebrating his tenure, his almost what 13 year tenure in the assembly as a speaker. We threw in that Rush Limbaugh resolution in the middle, and now we have a bill that passed in the assembly that would mandate the national anthem before sporting events. So, you know, that to me, those are some steps that are leading towards, we've seen this history in other countries. We've seen what happens when people are told how to be represented in government, and it's a very, very dangerous trajectory. And so I don't, it's pure fear mongering, and we really need to stay committed to organizing to literally preserve our democracy.
It's very interesting, because when I was watching this all happen and go down and seeing the tears, I felt like I couldn't have an opinion, because for so long as an immigrant and a Muslim hijabi, even the idea that I wouldn't be a patriot, because that was the automatic accusation because of my religion, keeps me, like, when I hear the national anthem or when people stand up to the Pledge of Allegiance, I'm the first on my feet, you know, as like I'm American too, I promise. So it was very interesting to be, you know, on next to the floor of the assembly and have to, like, really kind of recognize the fact that for a lot of people this means different things. Yeah. And the idea of it being a mandate and being it's fascism to some degree, and it was, I mean, bipartisanly supported, but it also seems like Republicans are just finding every single thing to do, like even traveling to places, you know, down this country that they don't need to, and everything they can do aside from actually governing for the people of Wisconsin. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it's traumatic for folks, and for, you know, those of us in the APEDA community. You know, a lot of us suffer from this perpetual foreigner syndrome, that even though we were born here, that we have to constantly prove that we are American. And I think it's traumatic to then have a law that would mandate the national anthem be played at you know, it's not even clear, you know, if this is something that would be, you know, if would having a wiffle ball game at a park, you know, would that require us singing the national anthem before? But it's just for folks who already feel like they have to prove their patriotism. The fact that they are at that point means that we as a country have not done enough to make them feel like they belong. Mm-hmm. And he talked a lot about unity and this belonging, and those are universal values. But the way that they are weaponizing, the Republicans are weaponizing, you know, this notion of and value of unity and patriotism, I agree with you that those are the steps people take before, you know, when they're heading into the direction of fascism.
Very interesting, because before I ran for office, my parents didn't vote, right? Their first time voting was for me, which was crazy to think about. But when I would ask them, because they, you know, if they wanted to go find the information on how to vote, they could. They're engaged in politics. They know what's going on. They're Democrats. But there still was this kind of reluctance to go to the polls. And when I asked them, they said, you know, as immigrants, especially African Muslim immigrants, you feel like you're a guest in this country, no matter, you know, how long you've held citizenship. And so the idea that you'd be audacious enough to even feel like you could have a voice in the community was something that they never realized until, you know, they were empowered, I guess, by whatever activism that was done during this last election cycle. And for me, it's crazy to think about, you know, immigrants that have the ability to vote that don't, because they don't feel like it's their place. You know what I mean? And I think it also explains the phenomenon of Bernie Sanders for an extent. I think when 2016 was happening and I saw him hug a Sudanese girl and tell her, you know, this is your country too, you have a voice in it. That was the first time I felt like my voice in politics mattered. You know what I mean? And I think that explains how much of the immigrant community and the multicultural community connected with him, especially the Sudanese one in Ohio. And I see actions like that, you know, are progressive maybe, or they're done on the left. And I think that's how you build love for your country.
Yep.
You don't build it by mandating and saying that you have to do a certain thing to fit in, but you say, who are you? Bring that to the table. And that is the true beauty of America. And as a Sudanese person, as someone who's seen war and seen corruption, like, I love America, and there's so many freedoms here that you don't have anywhere else in the world. And things like this bill actually hurt us and hurt our constitutional values even more, and they just don't get that. Yeah.
They don't, because they think that a lot of the, you know, the holidays, like July 4th, and Independence Day, Memorial Day, they think that that's enough to include everyone, right? Mm-hmm. But that those days that are representative of our patriotism is represents everyone who is American, but they don't understand that the reason we have to have spaces or active inclusion of like telling people that they belong is because when we think of those days, when Republicans think of those days, they don't think about the fact that we're a multiracial and a multi-ethnic community, right? And so that's why we have to constantly try to take up space. It's because, you know, I'll go back to an example Friday, the governor signed the Hmong Lao Veterans Day Act 31, which recognizes May 14th as Hmong Lao Veterans Day. And it's a historic bill. It's something that people have been pushing for 10, 15 years, and it was finally signed into law. And one of my colleagues said, you know, I heard him in a committee meeting saying, you know, I don't get why we have to have a Hmong Lao Veterans Day. We don't have a Black Veterans Day. We don't have a Latino Veterans Day. Like, you know, Memorial Day should be when we celebrate all veterans. And I was like, the reason we have to have this, and I had to walk away for a minute because I was so appalled, but also not surprised that this would come out of, you know, a legislator's mouth who introduced the Rush Limbaugh resolution. The reason we have to have this bill is because on those days, you do not think of Hmong veterans. And that is why we have to have a space where you actually talk to, and the bill requires, you know, it doesn't require it, you know, it's encouraging schools to talk about the significance of May 14th. And so it's just, it's really disheartening when people think that they have to define what patriotism mm-hmm. is for everyone, when it should mm-hmm. be something that is individually achieved.
That is profound. Hey, we're going to go on a quick break, and then Francesca's going to name who that was after. Just kidding. We'll see you soon.